Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks is part one of a three-part live teaching session called Teaching Church that took place here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene on Thursday morning, January 18th. It was for a group of Nazarene pastors and leaders from the Virginia District Church of the Nazarene. And in part one of Teaching Church, Pastor Carolyn Bing came and led devotions. Then Pastor Julie Cameron came and led a time of prayer. And then Dr. Phil Fuller came and shared what was on his heart.
Okay, we're glad you all are here. Good-looking group on a cold winter's day. So, you know, free heat. You can get free heat here. So maybe you turned your thermostats, you know, down and saving some energy at your place. Well, we're glad that you all have come today. Wow. And some of you this morning, when I got up to come to our prayer for men's group, you inspired me without even knowing it. Because I got a long day ahead of me. We had a sudden death Monday. Our drummer, age 53, died instantly. Shocker, no sickness, you know. I love the Lord. He's with Jesus. But we have his memorial this evening at 6. And so it was a long day. So when my clock went off this morning around 5, you know, to get ready for prayer, I thought, I think sleep would do me better today. And I rolled over 10 minutes, and I thought about some of you already getting in your cars almost and heading here. And I said, no, I think I need prayer more than sleep. So thank you for inspiring me without even knowing it. We don't take that for granted that you come. Virginia, she contacted me yesterday wanting to know how the snow was here. I was like, what snow? And we got a dusting, that's what Dad would call it. But we're glad that you made it, and some of you may have some black ice to deal with, so hopefully others are arriving safely as well. I don't think Brother Fuller will be here today. I'm not sure he will be. Okay, good. He told me he wasn't sure, so that's good. We'll hear a little bit from him later, maybe. He'll come and at least greet us, bless us, pray over us. So let's just have let me just tell you what we're planning on happening here. We're going to have a time of devotion, and Pastor Carolyn Bing is going to lead us today. And then she is our counselor here, and pastor counseling and shepherding helps us with that and a lot of other stuff. And then Pastor Julie Cameron, who is our new children's family pastor from New Hampshire. I keep saying new, but you've been here for like how long now?
A year.
Yeah, new. Julie's going to come and lead us in prayer, just whatever the Lord has given. And then if the DS happens to be here, we'll let him greet us. And we'll plan to take a break for about 10 minutes. And so by 10:15 at the latest, we hope to be back engaged here, 10:20, somewhere in there. And Gay and Buddy and Kelly are going to help us. If you don't have Gay's book yet, have some extra copies. There's a few left. There was much more before we start. You can get a copy on the table back here. They're $10. If you have $10, just leave it in the envelope. If you don't, and $10 is a challenge, the books are paid for. So I want you to have one. Okay. Don't get extras for Christmas presents, you know, but at least have one for yourself. This is one of those days where reading the book will be an advantage, won't be a necessity. But it will be an advantage that you read the book. You will want to read the book because I like small books that pack a heavy message, you know, and heavy and holy. So this is, I think I said it in the little email I sent out. In Bible college, we had a class called Pastor as a Person. And it was one of the most helpful classes I had because it kind of let you look at yourself as a human. I say sometimes to people in ministry, you know, I was a person before I was a pastor. Do you know that? You know, it's like pastor gobbles up everything sometimes, but we're still just people. And this is the book like that. We get to have the Lord minister to us, minister to one another. You know, we need to be ministered to, not just ministering. So I'm grateful, Gay, that you wrote the book and entrusted me to read it one of the first And it's one of those books you just can't put down. I believe God gave to Gay a truth, and we'll talk more about it later, that it's one of those things you can go a lifetime and have missed that. So it's good to have this book. It's good to see Pastor Camelot here from the Teaching Church East. So we got people coming from all directions today. And there's a man with an Alabama coat on, and it's not Jim Harrison. It is Brother Fuller. So, Brother Fuller, we're going to have Pastor Carolyn come on and join me here. She's going to share a devotion with us that the Lord has placed on her heart. And then Pastor Julie's going to come. And after Pastor Julie leads us in prayer, Brother Fuller, you come and greet us and say what you want us to say. And then we'll take a little break and come back for Gay to share with us. Let's begin with prayer, and let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. I don't think we can overpray this prayer. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The CEU unit number is on the table over here. We also have a new Wi-Fi, so the new password is also over here if you need to get up while things are happening. And there is a notebook there if you'd just like to sign in your information so that maybe if we're having a snow day, I could at least send something late to the people who usually come. Now, if you signed up last time, you can turn the page over. If you're on there, that's fine. But if you haven't signed up just on my little notebook, just emergency information, feel free to do that before you leave. Okay, thanks for your patience, Pastor Carolyn. Come and share.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with everyone this morning. The Lord's given me several things to share this morning, and it's been meaningful for me, so I hope it will be for you all as well. The first that I want to share is pastor devotions that Dr. Stan Toler did, and we know that he went to be home with the Lord this past year, but this has been very helpful to me, so I'm going to share some things that he has given us. A gifted public speaker was asked to recall his most difficult speaking assignment. "That is easy," he answered. "It was an address I gave to the National Conference of Undertakers. The topic they gave me was how to look sad at a $10,000 funeral." Now, that's a tough assignment. But here's an assignment that can top that one. How to teach the early church to be miserable. The early believers had a joy that was unspeakable. It was unquenchable, unfathomable, and unquellable. Paul wrote from prison, "Rejoice in the Lord always, I say." Again, rejoice. His joy was not dependent on his surroundings. His joy was dependent upon the Holy Spirit who produces joy within. This is a quote from Alfred Ackley. "Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto him my all I'm giving. His forever more to be. I will do what he commands me. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know." Early Christians were filled with joy because Jesus gave them hope and life. Should we be any different? I'm going to have a short prayer and then share some more. Lord, I pray that you will examine the depths of our heart for joy that is beyond understanding. Lord, we ask you to renew, strengthen, and deepen joy in our heart in a way that is beyond understanding and beyond circumstances. In his name I pray, amen. Another, this was a book Pastor Carey is very generous about when he needs space or just he's used a book and he'll pass them on to others. And so this is a book called Replenish by Lance Witt. And there's just, his words are more eloquent than mine, so I'm just going to share what he has said. It's about bringing your soul back to life. Maybe right now you're at a ministry crossroads. Perhaps ministry and life haven't turned out like you'd hoped. Maybe today you find yourself empty and drained from the demands of ministry. There is hope. There is a different way, a better way. Your outward circumstances might not change, but you can change the trajectory of your soul. With God's help, you really can bring your soul back to life. Joy can return. Passion can be reignited. Intimacy can be restored. Jeremiah has given us a bit of a roadmap on our journey back to spiritual health. This is Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So if we stand at the crossroads and look, if you're going to take the road that leads to spiritual health, you have to stand. You have to stop running long enough to make an informed decision about which road you will travel. An old Chinese proverb says, if we don't change the direction we're going, we're likely to end up where we're headed. Look ahead. If you stay on the road you're traveling today, where are you going to end up? Ask for the ancient paths. Past is a friend. Many people have walked the road before us, and we can learn a lot from them. This book isn't about new, but rather ancient revelation. It's about following the footsteps of those who've gone before us. They're up ahead, motioning back to us and saying, come this way. This is the path of spiritual health. This road will help you stay in love with Jesus and finish well. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. It's not the fast way. It's not the busy way. It's not even the leadership way that Jeremiah tells us to ask for. It is the good way. God wants you to have a good life, a life that is emotionally healthy, relationally satisfying, and spiritually life-giving. And you will find rest for your souls. What an incredible promise. So many of us in ministry are in need of rest for our soul. Could it be that this is what I really need most and even more deeply long for? Could it be God's first priority in my life is a connected and joyful, refreshed soul? Could it be true in my ministry that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Matthew 11:30. Could it be possible to find the kind of rest for my soul that leads me to say genuinely, Jesus is enough? I want to ask us to, I'm going to share a short devotional from Chris Tigreen, Experiencing the Presence of God. And I'll close with this. But I'm going to ask you if you'll just take a minute and just kind of exhale. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just listen to his words. Romans 8:10-11. Christ lives within you. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Imagine standing face to face with Jesus, enjoying a conversation about life and all its challenges. He looks into your eyes and you sense his perfect knowledge of your innermost thoughts, feelings, and desires. You look into his eyes and see his deep love and acceptance of you. Then in this moment of intimacy, you see him step closer into you, so close it looks like he's about to knock you down. But instead of a collision, he steps right into you. He turns around so that he's looking out of your eyes. He stretches his hands down into your hands, and you begin to feel his heartbeat. The Son of God is inside. He has clothed himself with you. This is a true picture. Jesus does dwell within us. His Spirit has made his home in our spirits. At times, Scripture tells us that we are in him. We are the ones clothed in Christ through his eyes and being sheltered by his Spirit. Other verses tell us that he is in us, that he lives his life through the bodies and souls he has redeemed. His presence is more than in the room. We are the room he is in. Learn to live with this picture in mind. This is part of how we retrain ourselves to see truth. Our vision shapes who we are, and if we don't envision the indwelling Christ, we don't allow him to live through us. In fact, we often live as though he isn't even near. Develop the awareness that Jesus is looking through your eyes, guiding your feet, ministering through your mouth and hands, and sharing his heartbeat with you. And the power and presence will increasingly become part of your experience and everyday life. Jesus, please step into us and live through us as fully as you want. Let us truly be your hands, feet, eyes, and mouth. In your holy name, I pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's a little different being up here in front of a bunch of adults. I wasn't going to read anything this morning, as I knew Pastor Carolyn was sharing devotions, but in my devotions this morning, reading My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and it just really, really spoke to me, and this is what the Lord's been laying on my heart to pray for in the last few months, so I just wanted to share that with you all. It says, from John 20:28, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God, give me a drink. How many of us are set upon Jesus Christ, slaking our thirst when we ought to be satisfying him? We should be pouring out now, spending to the last limit, not drawing on him to satisfy us only. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That means a life of unsullied, uncompromising, and unbridled devotion to the Lord Jesus, a satisfaction to him wherever he places us. Beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. It's easier to serve than to be drunk to the dregs. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for him. We are not sent to battle for God, but to be used by God in his battlings. Are we being more devoted to service than to Jesus Christ? And so I didn't in myself know how to put that into words, but that is really where my heart has been. So I just wanted to pray this morning that God would allow me in my ministry not to allow that, not to allow service to him to overtake his place in my heart. And I think being new to ministry, that's something that I struggle with on a daily basis. And I'm sure even if you've been in it for 20 years, it probably still is, but I just wanted to take a few minutes just to be still before the Lord right now, and just to pray to him. Whatever you need to lift up to him this morning, let's just set our hearts on him. Lord, we just thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for what you have called us to, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are present with us, Lord, knowing that we can't do anything out of our own strength, God. Lord, I thank you so much for these pastors in this room, these leaders, God. Thank you that they have said yes to a life of service to you, God. And we know, Lord, that that can come with a burden. With many burdens, God. But we lay all of those at your feet, God, knowing that if our hearts aren't solely for you, God, that we can't do this. So, God, I pray that our hearts would be set on you alone, God. I pray, Lord, that ministry would not be enslaving, God, but freeing. I pray, Lord, that as we seek your heart, God, as we seek your heart, that we would be able to pour into others, Father God. Lord, I thank you so much that we're able to be here today, that we're able to encourage, that we're able to seek, Lord, to seek you, God. Lord, we just thank you today. We thank you, God. I know that this year for me and for many in the church has not started out as we thought it would, has not necessarily been the easiest year, God. But we see you doing new things. We see you working, God. And I thank you, God, for the air in our lungs, God. We thank you for your breath pouring out into us, God, today. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be your servants, God. We do not deserve that. But we thank you, Lord, that you allow us to take part, God, in what you're doing. Lord, I just want to lift up to you today those who are lost, those who are broken, those who are far from you, who don't see what they're missing, who are searching, God, and not finding. God, I pray that we as the church, we as ministers of the gospel, God, would seek them out. God, you came to seek and to save the lost. And we know that that is the cry of our hearts today. God, that is what you have called us to as well, as to seek out the lost. God, sometimes that is our biggest blind spot, is not seeing those who are searching and in need of you, God. And I know that I have been guilty of not seeking. I have been guilty of seeing someone lost and thinking they want nothing to do with you. And I know that's not true. And they are broken and they are hurting, God. And I just pray that you would allow me to see their hurt and to speak to them in a way, God, that shows them your love, that shows them the freedom that can come through a relationship with you, God. So I just pray today for those who are lost, God. I pray, Lord, that they would find you today. I pray, Lord, that they would not keep seeking in things that will not satisfy them. God, I pray that they would see our light and come towards it. God, I pray that you would allow us, help us to walk with people, walk alongside of them. God, to feel their hurts, to listen, and to know that nothing is more important, God, than a life with you. So, Lord, I just want to pray today. I just want to think today of specific people that I know of, that we may know of here, who are lost today. Let's just offer up prayers for people who are lost. God, I pray for my brother today. I pray for my brother who once knew the joy found in worshiping you and coming to you with his burdens. And I pray, Lord, that he would find that once again. That he would know that this life he's chasing after is not satisfying him. God, I pray that whatever is holding him captive right now, you would throw that away, God. You would set him free and allow him, Lord, allow him to come back to you. Open his eyes, Father God. As you feel led, just lift up people that you know of that are lost today. Lord, as I read Gay's book this week, I just felt this deep longing, God, for healing in the places, God, where I have been broken and where I don't see what's broken inside of me.
don't want to look at the speck in someone else's eye and not see the plank in my own. God, I know that in all the losses that I've dealt with, Lord, in my past, I know that there are areas, Father, that I don't see that need your healing touch, God. And I know there are areas of my life, God, where I look at and I see nothing, God. But Lord, I thank you for those. I thank you for my mom who points those out to me. God, we need each other. We're just so reminded of that today, God. We can't do this alone, God. We need you and we need each other. So, Lord, I pray today that we would put down our pride. We would lay aside whatever it is that's keeping us from seeking your healing, God. Pray that we would lay all of that aside. God, that we would know this life, it's not about us looking our best. It's about us being holy and pure before you, God. It's about us loving you with our whole hearts, God. So we pray for those areas of our hearts today, God, that are broken. We pray for those times in our lives, God, where we pushed things aside and moved on and never allowed you, God, to reveal to us what you wanted to in that. God, I believe that everything that you've brought us through in this life will be used for your glory. So I pray that today, God, that we would be able to look back and know, God, that you are searching our hearts. You are searching our hearts, God. And we don't want to hide anything from you today. Lord, we love you. God, we just pray today that you would bless our conversation. We pray, God, that our eyes would be opened. We pray, Father, that as we draw together in community, God, we would be stronger. Lord, I just pray a blessing over our panel today, God. We pray your blessing over this day. God, I pray for memorial service tonight, as I know this is a tender time for a lot of people in our congregation, God. But we know that this is an opportunity for the lost to find you. So I just pray your blessing, God, over this service tonight, over this day, God. And we just consecrate this day to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. This has been a tender time and a very providential time, I believe, for me anyway. Thank you, Carolyn, for your devotional. You helped me. Thank you. Julie, thank you for your prayer. Where did you go? There you are. Thank you. I have to confess, I'm just human enough. I thought you were just going to pray a little prayer. We got into the presence of God during that time. I did. I kind of broke through. I love it when that happens. So thank you for being obedient to the Father. It's good to be with you. Let's see, Cheryl is here. She doesn't usually get to come to the teaching church, and so I'm glad that she made it today. She's here. So I feel whole today. Cheryl and I, if somebody has a Bible, would you please get Luke 10:2 ready to be read in just a moment? I need one or two of you, maybe in a different translation or so. Luke 10:2. Cheryl and I want you to know, pastors and spouses and staff and leaders, that we love you. We really do. We pray for you. We believe in you. We're excited about what God is doing through you. And I know many years ago, God called me to be a pastor. And I try to do this work I do pastorally, but it's not the same. And as far as I'm concerned, you have the highest calling there is in the work that you do. And so if it's possible to be proud of somebody, I'm sanctified proud of you. And so I'm grateful for the work that you do. And we know that what you do with intentionality and with sacrifice and with joy. There is exhilaration in ministry. There's also exhaustion. So we pray for you. We believe in you. Brother Carey, this is a great day. We've had to bring in two chairs twice now into the teaching chairs. That's awesome. That's great. All right. I want to tell you quickly about three upcoming events. Number one, beginning next Monday, a series of zone pastor huddles begins. There are six of them. Even though we have eight zones, there are six zone pastor huddles. These have been intentionally designed so that every pastor and spouse and staff member can come. We do these all across the district so that, for one, I have an opportunity to get together with pastors, and pastors also have an opportunity to get together with one another. We do a little bit of training, a little bit of fellowship, a little bit of eating, and a whole lot of encouragement. And so that's happening. And you should have received something from your area or zone coordinator in the last few days. So make sure you find out about it. Or you can reach out to the district office and we'll tell you when and where the event is being held near you. But they start next Monday, and there's four of them next week, and then there's two the following week. So come to the one that best works for you. The ministry team retreat is coming up the second weekend of March, and we're privileged to have Dan and Denise Boone, who are coming from Trevecca and Eastern Nazarene College, the president of both of those, and he's coming to be with us. And Pastor Oziel Arcia, the worship leader of Esperanza Viva from right here in Harrisonburg, will be leading the worship time. And if you didn't know about this already, the cost for that weekend, for two nights and all the meals that go with it, is like a little over $400. But the district advisory board has made a grant available that gives a $150 discount to every pastor of the first 100 that apply. And so hurry up and apply, and we want you to be able to come and be a part of it. It's going to be a great time. And it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that gives us an opportunity to break away for a little bit. And also, it was particularly helpful for our bivocational pastors to do it on the weekend. So, ministry team retreat. And it's not too late to do it. I think the deadline is scheduled to be the 22nd, but we have extended the deadline for registration. And then this weekend, beginning, well, one aspect begins tonight, but the real retreat begins tomorrow, the Teen Winter Retreat. And this is one of the largest, single largest events that happens on the Virginia District. And for many, many years, it was held right here. Thanks, Pastor Carey, for hosting that event here. And now thanks, Buddy and Gay, for hosting the event at Salem Fields. Your mountain's a little better or something. I don't know. What's the deal with your mountain? The skiing's going to be really rough, you know. But I don't think many went skiing anyway. I think that was what we discovered. Mostly they want to be together. And one of the prayer requests we've been praying is that 100 young people would come to accept Christ as Savior of their life. So I just want us to take a moment right now to pray that way. Can we do that? Let's pray that way. Bud Reedy, would you lift up that prayer for us?
Not taking a poll. Everyone in this room said yes to you for salvation while they were children and teenagers. What an absolutely critical time. And Lord, we think about the number of young people that when they reach adulthood choose a path that does not include church and does not include you. And so this is one of those moments where we have got to pray hard and believe for great things. Because the church is just one generation away from extinction. So Lord, I'm praying that 100 kids will just make a life-changing commitment to you, they will deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow you.
Yes.
We realize that there are many of these teens that are going to be at the retreat who already have. And so, Lord, I pray our churches will be incubators where our young people can feel valued and loved and accepted. And pray, Lord, that they will be growing in Christ's likeness in our local churches and with their families. Lord, I pray for the speakers. I pray for all the workers, those
yes,
who
Lord.
Have set aside time to spend with their kids. We pray that something unusual will happen.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I mean, I really hope the kids have a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they spend quality time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just praying, Lord, that that you will ambush these kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Because, Lord, you've been conspiring to redeem every one of them. From the moment of their conception, you have been conspiring to redeem them. And we are honored, Lord, somehow, to be involved in the conspiracy. And I pray that these kids will be able to go home and make a difference in their homes and in their schools and in our local churches.
Yes, Lord.
In their communities, on their sports teams, in the band, in the French club. You know, when they go back into the world, may they return with a renewed understanding of who they are.
Yes.
It seems to me that in this year, 2018, that it's very, very hard to follow Jesus in a public school. And everything that's working in our society against our kids. Lord, I pray against the culture of death that exists
yes, Lord.
In our society. And it's just chewing up our kids. And so, Lord, I'm praying that there will be young people there that will be delivered from addictions.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
I pray, Lord, that you will heal hearts, change lives. And then, Lord, I think of our workers. Many of them need to be renewed and encouraged too. Thinking about people like Clay, who's our pastor, youth pastor in Charlottesville. We're so blessed. He just loves kids. But I pray, Lord, that you would provide for all of his needs and
yes.
all the workers that are there. Provide for all of their
yes,
needs
Lord. Yes, Lord.
According to your riches.
Yes, Lord. Do it, Lord.
In glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I pray for our pastors, too. That our kids somehow will catch on that we really do love them. We do not consider their presence in our churches as an inconvenience. I pray, Lord, that we'll lead the charge in helping our young people know that they are not the church of the future. They are the church of now.
Right, right.
And that our lead pastors will value our young people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So thank you, God, for this divine appointment that's going to be taking place this weekend.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. So I want to share three quick highlights. I could share more, but I just have to share these. I talked with Tabitha Jernigan, who is helping us at Victoria. And One of the things about the Victoria Church is that for many, many years, they've not had a convert. They've not had a new member. It's just been kind of a difficult season for the harvest. Well, she was so excited Sunday to tell me that at the close of the service, a little boy, Christopher, said, "I want to give my life to Jesus." And she prayed with him, and he accepted Christ. And she said, "And Dr. Phil?" Said, "He said to me, I can't wait to go to school and tell all my friends Jesus is living in my heart." I say, praise the Lord. I kind of feel like if God can do it in Victoria, he can do it everywhere. He really can. That's good news. Some of you need to talk to Todd Thomas and have him tell you the story of the financial turnaround that's happened over the last 6 months at Timberville. God's still in the business of doing financial turnarounds. Praise God. I'm thinking if he can do that in Timberville, you know, he can do that anywhere. Really, he can. He can do it where you are. I'm thinking about Culpeper. For many years, they were kind of locked into this lease in this kind of storefront with not much parking, not much place. They had a big sign above said Hope. That was a good thing. Yeah, but the space was kind of limiting. And just recently, they got a new lease. Yeah, and a new place. And they got parking even. Yeah, that's good. And they've gotten some new people. And, of course, right when good stuff happens, Gary McGlinchey got a phone call that his mom's going through a very difficult time out in California. And so he had to leave, and he's got to be gone for several weeks. So you can pray for Gary in this situation that he's carrying. And our pastor, Charles Perkins, who's normally here at the teaching church from Stuart Straff Good Shepherd, some of you may know that for some time he'd been dealing with a tumor that was on his spine. And it was causing some problems with his feet and his ability to walk and other pain and other issues. And he was getting care from the Veterans Administration, and they were debating whether to do surgery. They didn't think it would be helpful. When they finally did the surgery last week, the tumor was much larger than they thought. It was benign, praise God, and they were able to remove it. And the doctor said, most certainly, this is the source of your problem. And so now he's on the mend. He got home yesterday, so you can continue to pray. It's a very, very painful situation for him, but healing's on the way. So keep praying for our brother. And then just one quick reminder to every pastor, every lead pastor in a local church. If you are already ordained and you're leading the local church and you have a person in your local church who is on the list to receive a renewal for district license this year, they cannot make their appointment for district license or even ordination until all the paperwork is completed in the office. And one of those pieces of paperwork is the local church recommendation. So, Pastor, if you have somebody like that in your local church who is applying for district license, they can't sign up for their time slot. They can't get on the list. And as time goes, all the better slots get taken. So they're looking to you to get that done as quickly as possible and see that done. Is that right on, Steve? We want to see that done. Now, if you are a district licensed minister and you are pastoring a local church, you do not get your local board to do that for you. That is something the district advisory board already has on its list to take care of you. And if you want to know why, I'm not going to take time to explain it, but if you want to know why we do it that way, come talk to me and I'll tell you, okay? All right. All right, does somebody have that, Luke 10:2? Somebody have that? Who's got it? Luke 10:2? All right, Dennis, you got it? You want to read it for us? Luke 10:2.
Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers unto this harvest."
Yeah. In my 14 years of superintendency, I've noticed something of late, that it's becoming a little bit more difficult to find pastors. Not impossible. God's providing. He will provide. But I'm just noticing that what used to be a little easier is becoming a little more difficult. Now, maybe it's because I'm not as good as I used to be. Maybe I never was very good. I don't know. But it's just seeming to be just a little more difficult. And I do think that there's a little change that's happening. So I've been praying every day at 10:02. My alarm goes off at 10:02. Luke 10:02, right? And I pray, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, send out laborers into the harvest." And Bill Wiesman, I heard him speak one time about this, and it really convicted me. It really helped me, actually. He said, so often we pray that the Lord will send in laborers. Hello? Lord, send me some laborers to help me. But that's not what the scripture says. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And that kind of helps my own position, right? So, Lord, help us to pray that he'll help us to send out laborers into the harvest field. All right. Two things, and then I'm going to sit down. I want to say thank you to Pastor Kerry for doing a great job of leading the teaching church. You've been steadfast, and you keep doing it, and thank you. And here's Clip the Coupon success for you, as you see a great turnout today, and wonderful. Thank you for what you're doing. This is great. This kind of peer-to-peer learning is wonderful. And then finally, I can't come to teaching church without saying something like this, that lost, hurt, broken, happy, down and out, up and out, all kinds of people matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. Amen? And if you do not receive it, I would love for you to receive the little email that I send out. It usually comes out on Sunday mornings. It's called Praise and Prayer. And we use it specifically to create some community among pastors and spouses and staff members across the district. I don't list every conceivable prayer request across the district in every local church. It's not about that. It's about pastors for pastors. And that gives us some guardrails to keep it in a narrow lane. There's plenty to do just with that. And so thank you for the opportunity to do that. If you'd like to receive that, let me know. We'll make sure you get on that list. And we love you. Thank you for being here today. Pastor Kerry, we're going to give it back to you. Tell us what we need to do next. Thank you. We love you.
Thank you for being here, Cheryl. Glad you could come over here on the west side. Glad you could travel with Dr. Fuller today. If there are any people here that are, you know, you're waiting on your district license, I signed 5 papers this morning, so you can exhale. Maybe you're one of the 5. I don't know. Vicky Dove makes sure all that happens. So we're excited about that. A lot of people preparing. So I believe might be here in the near future. You won't have as much trouble again. Be more preachers than you know what to do with. So I want to remind you, if you came in late, the CEU unit number is taped to the table here, as is our new password for our internet. And we're going to take about 10 minutes, so you can go ahead and swap sermons and all that stuff that you do. But let's be back in here at 10:10, and that'll give us about 2 hours. So go to the restroom and do all that. Let's see if we can be leaning in and focused as much as we can. I think that these next 2 hours are going to matter to us. They'll matter to God, too, and matter to others that are in our lives. So why don't you go ahead, eat the rest of those donuts out there or whatever's on the table. And 10:10, we'll be seated back in here, and I'll just turn it over to Gay and told her, just lead, just like this is your deal, because it is.